First off, most obvious question, how do you investigate whether an antique is fake or the real deal? Malcolm and Rachel, I understand your current project mostly focuses on papyrus documents.
Yes, so our project is really focused not only on strategies used and developed by disciplines in order to identify real from fake, but is also interested in more broader issues about how the public plugs into that. Because what tends to happen is that disciplines develop techniques to talk about objects and to talk about texts. And then forgers are kind of like hackers. They take that knowledge and they exploit it for their own aims.
So we're trying to focus on a broad range of ways you might detect fakes, both looking very closely at the script and the material and the language, but also looking in the future to collaborate more with our science colleagues. But our point in this project is to look very closely at what the humanities tells us about the script and the language, and particularly, as Rachel said, the motivations and the big picture stories people might have for making these fakes.
When we talk about these forgeries and fakes, is this purely modern recreations or stuff that's actually got quite a few years on it already, but isn't the real deal, isn't penned by the hand that it claims to be penned by?
So the project as a whole actually emerged out of Malcolm's involvement in The Gospel of Jesus' Wife, which is an purportedly ancient text that had been forged in modernity. But then we incorporated this into a broader study of forgeries across history, and we discovered that there were forgeries happening in antiquity. One of the interesting things that we're going to be doing is trying to understand how ancient forgers forged documents. We've worked on Renaissance forgers, and we've worked now on 19th century forgers, and what's interesting is how each period produces a forger that is operating in the kind of like way of thinking about knowledge and way that the public thinks about knowledge.
And you can see how some of these lines become blurred. You can have an ancient forgery. It's a real antiquity, but it's not what it says it is. Whereas you can have a piece of ancient papyrus that someone writes something on in the 20th century. Is that a fake or is that a sort of homage to antiquity? There's some of the questions we're trying to piece apart.
Yeah, as a layperson, it kind of seems like, well, it's old. It must be worth a bit, you know.
Yeah, and they are worth a lot.
Which is one of the primary motivations for forgers to exploit that kind of market.
You kind of touched on that with one of the earlier projects you mentioned there. Can detecting forgeries be a bit of a touchy field to work in? Nobody likes to be taken for a fool buying a knockoff instead of the real deal. They might want to kill the messenger, and certainly culturally it can be, I imagine, a little bit sensitive.
Yeah, and one of the key motivations behind forgers is that they want to actually destabilize things. They want to poke fun at the academy. They want to poke fun at experts. So the stakes are really high. The other motivation is really to manipulate history and to create histories that they want. And that, too, plugs into some areas where people have deep investment in the way that things should be.
I mean, this is a big problem at the moment because some fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls that most people now think are fake can be sold for millions of dollars, and the people that bought them simply don't want them to be forgeries because they not only do they look like a fool, but they're out of pocket for up to like $5 million.
And you mentioned some of the tools, or I've certainly seen on your website detecting creating the tools to actually detect some of these forgeries. Is there one size fits all tools for certain forgeries, or is it really a case by case?
Well, given that forgers respond so readily to new developments in technology, in part we see that you have to constantly update those toolboxes. And there is this question of should we be public about the type of techniques that we use to detect forgeries? Because as soon as we do that, the forgers update. So there is an element where we have to think about, does this need to be private knowledge? Part of expertise, I think, is balancing that need to be upfront with the public and to talk through those things and also think about what are the implications of presenting all of this data about papyri, particularly, I think, the work on papyrus inks and the chemical makeups.
Exactly. It's really, we've got ancient recipes for ancient ink. So as we study them more, then we make more information about that. Then people can mix up their own inks, and then we would find it very difficult to detect them. but we sort of tend to think that it's good to investigate and have open source, transparent knowledge about this. Forgers are always going to be one step ahead. We just got to be trying to make sure we're as close as possible to them.
You're working with the Museum of Ancient Cultures on an exhibition of forged artifacts called Faking It. What kind of fakes are actually on show?
Well, we've selected a group of about 8 to 10 artifacts from the museum that are either certainly fakes or have alleged to be, or they're questioned. So we've got a Hebrew papyrus, we've got a couple of fragments of pottery and a whole pot. We've got a cuneiform tablet that an exact copy of exists in 5 other museums, so 4 of them must be fakes. What else have we got in our exhibition?
We've also got a range of replicas. So one of the ways that objects come into the general accepted sphere is that they're generated as souvenirs, or they're generated for teaching purposes. And somewhere along the line of history, people forget that that's what they are. And they enter into the public discourse and they become this grand object. And slowly by slowly it unravels and we discover that in fact they're actually not what they're purporting to be. And so highlighting this use of replicas and this use of copies is something that we want to do in the exhibition. So we've got a number of replicas that we're going to think about those issues of where does the line between copy and original lie.
And there's also a day of public lectures, Faking It, Manuscripts from the Margins, focusing on alleged fake manuscripts from the ancient world to the early modern period. This includes the likes of even the Book of the Dead and the Dead Sea Scrolls, which you mentioned a minute ago. Can you tell us what this day will involve?
Well, this is one of the conferences that we're running as part of our project, Forging Antiquity. And rather than only have a small workshop closed just with only the scholars, we thought these issues are so interesting that we're going to open it up on Saturday the 22nd of September for the public and who's ever interested to come along. We've got 8 scholars coming from overseas, some of the world's top specialists in forged manuscripts from all around the world. And they're going to give a series of presentations along with 4 of us, local scholars, on different types of forged manuscript, everything from the Book of the Dead to the Dead Sea Scrolls to Greek and Latin inscriptions to other Egyptological papyri to medieval charters. And they're also going to address sort of big picture questions such as why people forge documents, what's the line, now that we have these perfectly printed 3D replicas, how does that affect our discourse of copy and replica and forgery? And then we're going to have a panel discussion where the audience will get to ask questions of our experts at the end of the day.
In part, we wanted to have the public day to also raise some ethical issues that have been brought up by the study of forgeries. What's apparent now is as the market increases in value, there's a great incentive, particularly in third world countries, to fake artifacts and to forge them. A lot of the things that are on the market at the moment are forgeries. And to understand the ethical implications of trading in the antiquities market is part of what we want to highlight in this public day.
Yeah, so there's a strong ethical component, as well as these just being really interesting stories that each object and each person has to tell.
Well, again, as I say, as a layperson, it does sound fascinating field. Best of luck, Rachel, Malcolm, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much.